You are about to enter the Exorcists podcast. Some audio may not be suitable for younger audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome all to the Exorcists podcast, where truth is revealed and knowledge to battle the demonic is given. Here is the Exorcist himself, G.P. Haggett.
Welcome to the Exorcist Podcast. This is your host, G.P. Haggett, author and theologian. If you're new to the series, if you're new to the podcast and you don't know who I am, my name is G.P. Haggett. You may have remembered me from Haunting in Saginaw, Michigan, that documentary produced and directed by my friend Steve Shippey. He was also known as Prozac Hitchcock. And as a rapper, and I also had some exorcisms done on My Ghost Story, the show's My Ghost Story, and Paranormal Witness. And but the only thing I got after the Paranormal Witness was an exorcism was done in the home. Those words at the end of those episodes. Also, I've had an appearance on The Dead Files. You can see that on Discovery Plus. I believe The Dead Files are still around. That was back in 2014, and I believe the haunting in Saginaw, Michigan was either 2010 or 2011. Quite a long time ago. And the recording of this podcast, my son is 8 years old. He was born in 2014. So it kind of gives you an idea just how much the passage of time is. So, last episode, we began a new series, Deliverance, on one of my friends. He's from the Chicago area. And our ministry decided to do a mass deliverance at the William Peter Mansion. And since then, occasionally, we've been doing those. We actually have another one coming up on the 24th and 25th of this month. It's March 2023. And I just want to give a shout out to the owner, Teresa Cook, for allowing us to come to the mansion and do deliverances there. And also to the Dowds, Bob and Sharon Dowd, who are caretakers of the place and helped the owner to take care of it. And they've been doing a magnificent job in taking care of the place. And Bob is also a part of our ministry, and he's been helping with a lot of exorcisms. I like these exorcisms because they really show the power of Christ. And even though that these are the only, what you're going to hear in this exorcism is Belial. He's the angel of darkness. And he's a Luciferian spirit, basically Lucifer. And also, in the next exorcism is Leviathan. He's a dragon. And he is the only demon that it tries to get at me during exorcisms is Leviathan. So my friend here, his name's Clay, and he decided that he wanted to come up. First, he was going to decide to come up and learn and do how to do deliverance, but then he just figured that, you know, maybe I need some deliverance myself because I'm just, things are not right. And prior to traveling all the way to Columbiaville, Michigan, he threw up, didn't feel good, and he let our ministry know about that. And he says, yeah, I just don't feel good. Feeling really weird since, you know, coming. since I live in Chicago. And so he drove all the way, and he was one of the first to receive deliverance and in front of witnesses. And so in this one, you're going to hear me use the church there to gain even more power over these demons, because they were just emitting supernatural strength out of clay. And it took three men to hold him down. It was these two exorcisms of Belial and Leviathan, and probably the most violent that I have ever done. And you can actually hear me slapping him with the Bible. Sounds like a big old wiffle pad or something hitting him, but it's just kind of the heat of the battle. And for my critics out there that are listening to this, is while you're slapping people with the Bible and you're yelling at people, this doesn't cause any trauma. And if you're experienced like I am in deliverance, you know when a dissociative comes up and when to stop. And I tell my students it's called throttling, where you're always watching, you're always paying attention to the person's face, facial expressions, and any emotions come up, because usually when emotions come up, that's a dissociative. And when you start to see emotion come up, pull back on your authority. The Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians, or Ephesians, sorry, chapter 6, I believe it's chapter 19 or 20, I shall speak boldly as I ought to speak when talking about demons and the full armor of God, because this is warfare. And we need to treat these things as the enemy, of course. And we need to speak boldly. Now, one prominent Roman teacher, I can never really say these old Roman names, these Latin names from ancient times, Lactantius, he's from 250 to 325 AD. He was a Christian. And he says, and I quote, "The demons fear the righteous, the worshipers of God. When adjured," I'll get it into what that word means, "when adjured by the name of God, they depart from the bodies. They cannot speak falsely, either to God or to the righteous, by whose voice they are tormented." So the early church, how they did exorcism was pretty much from the elder, what you call the pastor or priest or pastor or bishop today. The church would go out and they would risk their lives. They would go out into public. The elder would open air preach. The congregation would go among the crowd and talk with people, bring them through the law, the Torah, just like the same method as Ray Comfort would do, and then bring them to Christ. And then if any demons would pop out, which they usually did, they would confront them and cast them right out in front of everybody. It was the number one miracle performed in the church. And Ramsey McMullen, a professor of history at Yale University, said miracles were the primary engine for producing conversions in the ancient world, referring to the church back then. It was possibly the most highly rated activity of the early church, early Christian church. Exorcisms was the number one engine, basically, of the church in spreading of the gospel, because people would see basically their gods manifest through people, and then they'd be overtaken by the one true God, and then they would just see, well, this is more power than I can possibly imagine, and I have sinned against this God, therefore I'm going to convert. Now, another thing is that in Acts, it talks about these people who have went and burnt their scrolls and because they were doing witchcraft and stuff like that. And then they could, you know, what was going on was one of the powers that witches back then wanted to have was, of course, power over the demonic and to be able to cast demons out of people. And so back then they used a lot of incantations to and spells to cast out demons. And so that was what people back then, but this is what these people were talking about in Acts. The author was talking about in Acts. What they were doing was they were taking their scrolls that were how to cast out demons, and they were throwing them into the fire. They were getting rid of them. A lot of pastors use that as a preference point to tell people, hey, you need to burn the Ouija board. You need to burn your occult objects. Well, if those are haunted objects, you're going to release the spirit. You have to bind the spirit. I highly recommend people. And I know John Zaffis does as well. He's the haunted collector. And he usually will recommend people too to bind the spirit to the board and then just bury it somewhere, just get rid of it that way. And that's what I suggest as well. Spell books, incantations, that kind of thing. That's paper. You know, you can burn those, renounce those, and burn them, get rid of them. But objects that are used in divination like that, you want to bind the demon to it. You can take your Bible and you can say aloud to your Ouija board and the planchette that's on there. Tape the planchette on to the board, and you can take a. You can either do it physically. You can take, you know, a piece of yarn, cord, what have you, but you don't have to. You can take, because what you're saying in faith, you can take the Bible, wrap around three times, you know, make the motion three times around the Bible and say, I take a threefold cord, not always broken, not easily broken, from Ecclesiastes 4:12, and I bind the demon to this board in Jesus' name. And that demon's bound to that board. And then you can take it properly and you can go and throw it in the trash. You know, I have a friend who works for the city of Midland here in Michigan, and he works in a landfill, and he said, yeah, that stuff gets buried. You're never going to see it again. So he had no worries there. Bernard Coleman, professor of theology at university in, Northheim in Germany, he said exorcism was critical for the early church's success in winning people to faith, and that, which is highly true. And Geoffrey Lamp, British theologian, Anglican priest, and professor of divinity at the University of Cambridge in the UK from 1960 to 1970, unveils the miracle that the early church achieved that stands out above all others. He said exorcism was the dominant miracle of the early church. He goes on to say exorcism provided support for a person's authority, character, and doctrine. So, there you have it. That was the exorcism was the most prominent miracle of the early church. It provided authority, proof, righteousness, a reference, basically, to a person's ability and strength in the Lord. And it gave a authenticity to the Christian church. And it's, when people saw it publicly, it was a easy way as a evangelical tool to bring people to Christ. And usually, I don't like I would do private exorcisms, but I like to invite people who, other Christians who tell me, I need something to build my faith. I need genuine faith building, or a paranormal investigator wants to sit down and experience an exorcism, or just, somebody who is curious and doesn't believe, as an atheist, and sits down and they can see that during the inner healing process, somebody who is experienced with psychology, and I'm counseling the person. I'm going through and I'm testing them for certain mental health angles upon them. I can't diagnose anybody. I can only suggest them to go to a specific psychologist or psychiatrist, that kind of thing, because this is what I have identified. A lot of people aren't aware that pastors are trained in counseling, and they will give a suggestion. It sounds like you have post-traumatic stress disorder, and here is some credible counselors I suggest that you go to and to get checked out, and there is a certain test that you can take to find out if you have post-traumatic stress disorder or any other type of psychosis or whatever, or disorder. So it is, the people I train in doing deliverance, there's a big old, in our training program, there's a big old thing from MIT on psychology. And I highly recommended for all of them to learn all that stuff. Sit down and learn it. Here's another one. A 3rd century Christian philosopher, Bishop of Carthage, he said, if only you could hear and see them when they are adjured by us. And he goes on, and come and acknowledge that what we say is true. Now, that word adjured is really an authoritative phrase and is the origin of the word exorcizo, where we get the word exorcism from. It is like a judge saying in a courtroom, adjuring somebody in the courtroom to do something. Okay, you're going to do this. You have to do this. You obey by my authority. And so it's basically what it is. And so when every time I do a deliverance exorcism, I sit and I have the mindset that I am representing the courts of heaven. I treat it like a courtroom. I have authority, and whatever the demon does to avert my authority, they get punished for it. They get tormented. And it's just like these gentlemen, these theologians have said, is that they get tormented even by the words that Christians have spoken. And you're going to hear that a lot. And so I the witness is there. I use them to gain authority and to make Belial shape up and obey by my authority in Christ. Everybody there, even I instruct them to say with faith, torment, fire, that kind of thing. And so people get involved too, to strengthen their faith. All the witnesses. So without further ado, here is the exorcism of Belial.
We're serving the Father here.
No.
It's just not a different person or anything.
No, so wait,
don't get freaked out. We're just as demons. That's all.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Huh? They're irritated. This is a positive thing. They're irritated. They're defending their rights. We're battling for you. We're going to get them out. They're afraid. They're saying, we're not afraid. Oh, yes, they are. Because they don't want to go to the abyss. Is that a laugh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to test something, though, when you're ready.
Yeah, I'm just lightheaded.
I mean, this is your deliverance, so you're in control. So if you say stop, we'll stop.
No, no, that's, yeah, just keep going.
Okay. I was literally trying to tell you I did not see it.
The eyes are the lampstands to the soul, so the lily, the window to the soul. That's why we look into the body. Now, I reach in with the finger of God and I pull Belial up. Now, you come up and face the man of God. You have any more legal right? Huh? I said I want an answer when I ask it. Jezebel wouldn't be there, would she?
No.
So it's just you and Leviathan.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any more legal right?
Maybe.
I don't want a maybe, I want a yes or no.
Too bad.
Give me an answer. You come to full manifestation, I didn't tell you to leave. Get up now. Do you have any legal right?
No.
Then you gotta go.
No.
Say I?
No.
Who is this? This Belial? Is this Belial? Is this Belial?
Yes.
Say I, Belial.
No.
Yes. Say it. Fire. Torment. Say it.
I
say it,
Belial.
Bind myself. Say it. Say it.
Bind myself
to all my kingdom. Don't touch me.
Take that off me.
No. I take the sword of the spirit from Hebrews 4:12 and I divide soul from spirit. Now I divide all spirits from this soul in Jesus' name. Don't touch me. Say, bind myself. Say it.
Bind myself.
Stand up.
No.
Stand up.
No.
I'm warning you, stand up.
No.
Torment.
No.
Torment. Torment. Stand up. Say, bind myself.
No.
Say it. Take the sword and stab you. Say, bind myself.
Bind myself.
To all my kingdom.
To all my kingdom.
As one.
As one.
Together. Together. Say it.
No.
Say it.
Together.
We renounce.
We renounce.
Every right to this man. Say it.
To this man.
Of God.
Of God.
We lift. Say it.
No.
Say it. You say it.
We lift.
The curse.
The curse.
On this person. Say it.
No.
Say it.
No.
Say it.
No.
Say it.
Of this person.
And future generations.
And future generations.
For what we have done.
For what we have done.
To torment this man.
To torment this man.
And all his ancestors.
And all his ancestors.
We receive. Say it. Say it.
We receive.
The judgment. Say it.
The judgment
of God.
Of God.
Seven times greater.
No.
Say it.
No.
Say it.
No.
Say it. You're going to say it.
No.
Say it.
No.
Say it. Seven times greater.
No.
Seven times greater. Say it.
No.
Say it.
No.
Say it.
No. Seven times greater.
Feel it. Feel it. Feel it all. Having
more further right. Say it.
Oh.
Say it. Say it.
Heaven no more.
Right.
Right.
To this child of God.
This child of God. Get off of me.
We release.
No.
We release.
Say we release.
His destiny.
His destiny.
And anointing. Say it.
An anointing.
What is it?
Get off of me.
What is it? What is it? What's his anointing? Say it.
He's a man of God.
Say it.
No.
Say his anointing.
His anointing.
You better say it.
Say it. No.
Say it. Torment. Everybody repeat after me. We the children of God.
We the children of God.
Command this demon.
Command this demon.
To obey the man of God. Say it.
No.
Say his anointing. Say it.
No.
Say it. Say his anointing. Come to full manifestation. Belial, come up. I didn't tell you to leave. Get up now. Full manifestation. Belial, come up.
What do you want?
Tell me his anointing, Belial. Say it. Say it. Torment. Everybody say torment.
Torment.
Fire.
Fire. Fire.
Say it.
No.
Say it is anointing.
No.
Say it.
No.
Say it is anointing.
No.
Say it.
No.
Say it.
I won't say it.
I ask the Holy Spirit to reach in and make this demon say his anointing. Say it. Say his anointing. Belial, come up. I didn't tell you to leave. Get up, Belial. Get up. Full manifestation. Right now. Get up. Belial.
That's me.
Let me get on this side of football.
Wait, why won't we say it though? Let me say it.
Demons resist.
Anointing is what God's purpose is for you.
Right.
If you know that, you're working against demons. You know that. It's basically you're giving demons or you're giving ammo to fight them.
Ready?
Right.
Yeah.
You almost got them.
Let me lock this arm. There we go.
No, I'm just staying.
No. Okay.
I place the blood of Jesus Christ between myself and all these demons and every man and woman here in Jesus' name. Come up, Belial. Belial, come on.
You don't want to come up.
Say, having no further legal right. Say it.
No.
Say it.
No.
Say it. Say it.
No further right. No.
No further legal right.
No further legal right.
We go now. Say it. We go now.
Say it.
No, you go now.
We go now. Say it.
We go now.
To the. Say it.
The.
Abyss.
No.
No.
Say it.
No.
Say it. Torment. Say it. Say it. Say abyss. Say abyss!
No!
Say it!
Abyss!
Go! Get up! Get out now! In Jesus' name! I ask for holy angels of the Lord to drag this demon out of Clay now! You come out fully! Come out! Come out! Get out!
Wow. This Clay?
Yeah.
I have no power.
Okay. I wish we could say this.
I was about to say everybody else ain't saying that though.
grab that chair. Here, sit down, man. Yeah. Sit down.
Straight back.
Lay here.
You're if you want to have
them more. Hey,
I bless you with the cross of Christ, the peace of Christ, the joy of Christ, in Jesus' name. May the Holy Spirit fill every part of your soul and body and spirit where a Belial was. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah.
So you're going after them one at a time rather than biting them all in the strong man?
Well, it's kind of the heat of the battle.
I get it.
Someone's doing my head right now. Yeah, I think it's not going nowhere.
Oh, yes, he is.
Can I give you a water?
Dad, you don't remember
anything? No, I got something.
It's under
what do you need?
Under
the table.
Yeah, do you remember any of that?
No.
So you have it there, the exorcism of this demon known as Belial. He's also in the Bible. You can find him. You can do a Bible search online for Belial, and you can find him in there. And he's known as the Angel of Darkness. This is pretty much a traditional exorcism besides the violence. The Belial wasn't that violent. They didn't have to hold on to him too much. They can get violent. Exorcisms can get violent. Just depends on the demon. And like I said, the only violent exorcisms I've ever had so far is Leviathan. Sometimes murder. Murder will want to come at you too. But the murder is usually more of a minion type demon for the demon Jezebel. So is witchcraft. Whenever you find murder or witchcraft, you're going to find Jezebel. And wherever Jezebel is, those two are usually there too. And sometimes Mammon, but not always. But Belial, he was attached to the lust. He was claiming a legal right over the lust. We got that renounced, and then he didn't have any more legal right. And so we made him say an oath. So it is also good to have people there who know what they're doing too. You can tell that my cousin Jared Grimm was there. He's a demonologist, and you can hear him explaining in the background to Clay's son Elijah that because he had a lot of questions about the exorcism of his father, and he's grown up. And he's probably in his 20s, nice young man, met him, and he was like wondering what the heck an anointing is. And Jared, you can hear him explaining it to all the witnesses there. And so, you know, Jared has a lot of experience with demons and dealing with demons and demonic cases. And you can hear him. Of course, you know, he's a big guy too, and so he was there to help restrain Clay and prevent these demons from trying to come at me. Demons know when they're going to be judged, and there's been times where I go on a case and had talked to the person before their appointment, and nothing happens. Nothing extraordinary happens. Go and visit them or meet them at a location to do their exorcism, and the demons are there, and they just they resist all they can, and everybody leaves. Nothing's happened. But, of course, it can take several sessions to get demons out completely. But most of the time, I know when an exorcism is going to be successful, when there is some sort of reaction. There is usually it's kind of the complete opposite in homes. All hell will break loose in the house, and then it suddenly gets quiet when we're getting to the approaching day of doing a blessing on a home. Generally, though, that the demon is in somebody in that situation, and then they come out. Straight up exorcism on a person and deliverance. They have some sort of reaction. There's anxiety. Oh, I had a headache all day until we met. Or there's just this anxiousness, or they throw up. The demons are getting worried at that point. They know that their time is approaching to be judged. And like I said earlier, is that it's a whole courtroom process. Me as the exorcist, I'm kind of the lawyer, and I'm sitting beside my client, you could say, the host, the victim of possession, along with Jesus Christ. And then we have, over on the other side, we have the defendants, who are the demons and Satan, and they're defending their rights. And then, of course, we have the judge is the Heavenly Father. But it's kind of a different process in a way, as I am standing in the middle of the courtroom the whole time with the power of and authority of the state, you could say, the kingdom of heaven, the courts of heaven. I have all that authority, and it's more of the felons, the demons, the trespassers have been found, and they're being prosecuted. And I'm like the prosecutor, and I have all authority of my district, of the state, or of the state or province, you could say, if you're from another country, listen to this. But in this case, you know, like I said, I represent the courts of heaven. I represent all the laws, the authority in heaven. Okay, this person has now renounced what they've done, and Satan and his demons turn around and say, you know, we're still not going to leave because we're still accusing them of what they did. I also have to enforce the power of the courts of heaven upon the demon and say, look, no, you don't. You have no more authority. Your rights were taken away. It's time to go to jail. And they still won't go. They're going to fight in the courtroom and still accusing before God of the Christian of doing sin or whatever. You should be a Christian when you're going through an exorcism. It's nearly impossible to do an exorcism on somebody who's not a Christian to remove their demons. And then in the courtroom process, you know, the bailiffs come along, you could say the angels, and restrain the demon, and they're forced to say an oath to the judge that they're going to go to prison. And they do. They take them away. That's pretty much how it is. And you can see that everybody, you can hear everybody, you know, having a good old time. This is a blessing that's happening. This is a miracle. And as I was talking before this, you could hear this exorcism, it's not scary whatsoever. The only scary aspect of it is that if Clay would have kept these demons in them, things could have got worse. They could have influenced him to go and rape another woman. You know, they can be that powerful, or do something that he just does not want to do. And you could hear from the beginning in a previous episode that he doesn't like it. He doesn't like what the thoughts and all that stuff that's coming to his head. That's what demons do. They will push your buttons. They will poke and prod. That's why the devil, you see a lot of these red devils have a pitchfork, because that's where the symbolism comes from. And also from, you know, pagan gods like Neptune and Poseidon having pitchforks. And, excuse me, and like Shiva having a pitchfork. That's where the symbolism comes from, is that these are pagan gods, false deities, false gods, you know, demons, fallen angels pretending to be something that they're not. And so at the church is here to assert God's authority. And this is a spiritual warfare. This is the number one miracle of the church, and it has to be brought back. The church has to step up and remove the stigma of exorcism that Hollywood has put upon it, and show just how miraculous it is. Because people, every time I invite people over for an exorcism, hey, I got this big old bonfire going on, you want to come over? we're going to party. We're going to have a big old exorcism. but people come over having these perceptions of what exorcism is because they get it off of the movies. And then they see it done and they're just, wow. Wow. Yeah, I want a piece of that. I want to go to Christ. I'm going to become a Christian. Cast the demons out of me that are in me. If I have any, can you check me out? And they just totally switch. Not to beat up on my cousins because they're family, but Jared, for example, just kind of known as, you know, that wild cousin type of guy, and started hanging out with me, watching exorcisms and learning about demons, totally changed, totally came to Christ. My cousin Chelsea, who is also the registered nurse, who is the head of the chief medical officer of our ministry, she was the same way, a wild child, partying, all kinds of stuff, and then stepped in, watched an exorcism for the first time, and totally changed. And her mother said to me, "I got my daughter back." And now presently, she's got one of her daughters, Chelsea does, who is kind of a wild child following her mother's footsteps. And I said, "Hey, have her come and watch an exorcism. We can scare the crap out of her." And it's a form of getting people to the cross, having their eyes opened up to reality, because a lot of us are growing up and seeing the world. And we're physical beings, so what we see in our world is our reality. We don't see the spiritual. Exorcism opens up the spiritual and shows people both sides. Sees the demon manifesting and sees an exorcist. Using the power of God, God shows up through the exorcist, through the church that's there, all witnesses, and blows the demon away, blows evil away. And you see that happening right in front of you, and how can you not deny the existence of God? How can you not deny the existence of Satan and his demons? And it causes people, every time I have an exorcism and people show up to witness, they totally change their mind. They change their whole perception. And people in the paranormal community especially will come and watch an exorcism with me as I do them. I've had people believe certain things of using Native American shamanistic ideas, mixing it with Christianity. Those who even have used witchcraft, those who have even done occultic things and believe that it's all right to do, and casting out demons. And I invite them out to an exorcism. Say, "Hey, we got this exorcism, come. You can come out and watch." and they come out and watch, and they see the full force of God coming against the full force of evil, good and evil, and they see what we exorcists are capable of doing, and they're blown away. Their mind explodes. And they're like, okay, yeah, I'm getting rid of the sage. I'm getting rid of the books I have. I'm getting rid of all this material. Yeah, you've totally, and this is what I hear most of the time, yeah, you've totally changed my mind. You totally changed my perception on the paranormal. And it's a game changer for people in the paranormal. And I get that. A lot of people don't want to go and witness an exorcism because they like what they do and they're afraid that their mind is going to change. But why would you want to go and live a lie? Why would you want to go and experience a lie when you can experience the truth? The Bible says that, experience the truth and the truth will set you free. And it does. And I've even had groups, paranormal groups, come and watch an exorcism, thinking because of that perception from Hollywood, come and watch an exorcism, and they go and take all their gear and they sell it off and they stop their paranormal investigations, stop their ghost hunting. Totally change your mind. And I've even had groups even tell me, like, well, we're not going to come out and watch it because we like what we do and we don't want that perception to be changed. And that's fine. That's your prerogative. But I'm just doing my job. It's like I tell people, my home is heaven and I'm only here to do recruiting. That's why I'm here. And to expose the demonic. The church is in a celestial war. This is the celestial war that you heard. There's plenty of them out there in the world. Now, let me tell you another thing is that the devil and his demons, I believe I said this before in another podcast, is outnumbered. It may seem, like they're an impossible enemy because there's just so many of them, but keep in mind, we have the Almighty Heavenly Father on our side. We have Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. God is omnipresent, omniscient. He's everywhere and in everything. He knows. He walks up and down the shores of time. He knows past, present, and future. The Bible even says that evil is going to lose. So I don't even know why these witches, Satanists, and everybody want to get on the side of evil when they're going to lose anyway. And blessings overcome curses. And 2/3 of the angels are still with the Lord. Satan only took 1/3. So Satan and his demons are outnumbered. And plus we have the church. But if the church just stepped up and started doing their job, then I believe that if every Christian around the world knew what I knew, they would be out evangelizing and they would be out casting out demons. And Satan would not know what to do. But in order to defend himself, Satan has to go and hide in the shadows, hopefully not to be discovered, and has to go to people like and producers like in Hollywood and other places around the world, and politicians, and our government. And have to enter them and influence them, speak to them, tempt them, to do certain things, present things in a certain way in order to, make exorcism like Hollywood does, speak to the producers, create the script or these novelists, that kind of thing, and give a false perception of exorcism. Exorcism is beautiful, folks. It's a beautiful thing. It's beautiful that you get to beat up demons. I mean, who wouldn't love that? I mean, and it's beautiful to go through, watch God work in a person, and listen to God help that person through inner healing to renounce things, break curses, hear them experience things like, wow, I suddenly feel a lifting off of me. And not only that, for the demons to come up and interrogate them and find out that they're doing infirmities, they're causing disease or illness in the person, and then binding that to the demon and then casting them out, and then they just are miraculously healed. It's a true miracle. It is an awesome thing to experience, and I look forward to it. You know, it's just all a person has to do is speak the word, and they're healed. It all starts with the mind, the faith of believing in your words, reaches your soul, your heart, your mind, and then it's like mind over matter, that what you speak affects your body. Now, laying on of hands, of course, yeah, I believe that. Laying on of hands, somebody, I haven't been able to do that yet. Laying on of hands of somebody and heal them without demonic activity going on. You know, looking, opening the lid and not finding any demons, but there is cancer or something in that person, a disease or illness, COVID, what have you, and lay hands on that person and they're healed. I have not been able to do that yet, but that's something I strive for, because since being a kid, I've always prayed to Lord, I want to lay hands on people and I want to heal them just like you did. And I believe that, you know, that's part of deliverance, is laying out of hands and healing them. One of the things too is we lay a hand on their forehead when we do exorcisms. Catholics do that. Catholic exorcisms do that. Protestant exorcist deliverance ministers do that. And we lay hands on the person to irritate, to torment the demons, because like I said, Christians are that, we're flames of fire, we're ministers of fire to the demon. And what demons usually see in the eyes, this is why I believe I explained this before, why I have them look in my eyes is to see Jesus. But I've had people that are coming to consciousness and have seen what the demons have seen in my eyes, and they say, yeah, it's just bright light. This beautiful light that's coming out of your eyes, like flames of fire. And that's what the demon sees. And it terrifies demons. But demons don't want you to think that. They want you to think that exorcism is scary. It's horrific. Because it's like taking, for a while there, somebody goes out and talks about crabapple trees and how beautiful the blossoms are in the spring. But then over time, somebody, you know, comes along and sees the crab apples and they don't like them and they want to destroy them. They want to burn it or whatever, burn the trees. And so they start spreading rumors about it, about the crab apples. Well, because it's a crab, you know, they give a false story about it because of that. It's got that word crab in there and it sounds weird. They give false stories about how they're, crab apples are going to never be found, and you're never going to experience the beauty of it. It's all a lie. They're actually very horrific. And so they put this other image upon them. And that's what Hollywood did to exorcism. And exorcism is as beautiful as a crab apple tree in bloom in the spring. The red or pink blooms. It's just beautiful. You want to go up and smell it and experience the essence of that crabapple tree, the beauty of it. And they are beautiful. We have two of them out in our front yard. And I look forward to spring when the crabapples bloom. And so exorcism is actually like that. It's a beautiful flower. And it's a beautiful thing to see the whole power of God and the experience of that happening. And like I said, it was the number one miracle of the church because it was very effective. Very effective. very effective. It was beautiful. And once people experience it, like I was telling you, and all these other people, these people witness exorcisms when I invite them in, they all say the same thing too. It's like, wow, it was so awesome. It was so beautiful to see this person delivered. And they want to learn how to do it. And that's what the domino effect was of the early church. They would go and seek and save the lost, exorcise the demons out. People would witness it, and it was so beautiful. And they wanted to learn how to do it. It was just the domino effect. And it kept going like that. And then demons were jumping into the authority and saying, we got to put a stop to this. And then the authority, even through Nero, and Caligula and all these emperors decided to start persecuting and destroying Christians as much as possible. But because it was something so beautiful that the church was doing and people were experiencing it, it just kept growing and growing and growing. They couldn't put a stop to it. And so finally it took until I believe it was the 4th century when Constantine converted to Christianity and passed the Edict of Milan. Until Christianity, all persecution of Christians finally stopped. And Christians, actually, the church, actually became part of the government. So that is the podcast for this time. This is part two of the series of new exorcisms. The next one will be an exorcism on Leviathan. We're going to get a Leviathan out of clay next. And this is the most violent exorcism that I have ever done. And it was even hard to restrain. The three men even had a rough time to restrain clay as Leviathan was coming forward and we were casting him out. So until next time, God bless. And have a great day.